Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 348, stanzas 1, 2, and 4. With joy and gladness in my soul, I hear the call to prayer. Let us go up to God's own house and bow before Him there. And bow before Him there. 1, 2, and 4 of Psalter 348.
Thank you. the portion of God's Word that we wish to read this afternoon. You can find recorded in the book Genesis, and of the 24th chapter, Genesis 24, beginning by verse 29. But first we will read the 12 articles of our undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Genesis 24, beginning by verse 29. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared a house and room for the camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet. And the man's feet were that were with him, and there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord had blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, and men servants and maidservants, and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him had he given all that he had. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, The Lord, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred. And if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord had appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in my heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hands. And I bowed down my head, and worshipped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way, to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Thus far the reading of God's word. We will now go over and read the form of the administration of baptism, which can be found in the back of the Psalter on page 126. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonish to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesseth and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesseth and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopts us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil, or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he does wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between thee, me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the Apostle Peter testified with these words, for the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2 verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. And therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them, and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision. Therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein, when they shall arrive to years of discretion.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, Thou who hast, according to Thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to Thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and Thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led Thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground, by which baptism was signified, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased of Thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon these children, and incorporate them by Thy Holy Spirit into Thy Son, Jesus Christ, and that they may be buried with Him into His death, and be raised with Him in newness of life, that they may daily follow Him, joyfully bearing their cross and cleave unto Him, in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, that they may with a comfortable sense of Thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ Thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with Thee and the Holy Ghost, the one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. I now request the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to these questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore as members of his church ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and the New Testaments, and the articles of the Christian faith in which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see these children, when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or help or cause them to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Father and Mother Anchor? Father and Mother Brum. Father and Mother Sinky. Father and Mother Verhoof. Dear parents, what can we desire more for ourselves and for our children than the place of Rebecca, who was appointed to be the wife of Isaac? But the marriage of Rebecca that did not start with Rebecca. But the marriage of Rebecca that began with Abraham, it began with Isaac. And the Lord, he has, in the way of his providence, brought Rebecca unto the well in the very same moment that the servant of the Lord, he had finished praying unto the Lord. Rebecca did not know what was in store for her. Rebecca did not know, she did not realize the importance of this moment in her life when she was brought by the providence of the Lord unto that well in that day. The salvation of the church of God that does not begin with his people. The salvation of that church that begins with the Lord himself. It begins with the Father. It begins with the Son. And it is first in the way of his providence that the Lord is bringing that people to the well. And that he is bringing that people unto his servants. That he is bringing that people under that word of God. What a blessed providence of the Lord. All things, the apostle says, working together for good to them that love God and those who are the called according unto his purpose. Here we have the significance and the importance of baptism, because thereby our children, they are brought in the providence of the Lord to the well. There is a well. It is a fountain. It is a well that you can never come to the bottom of it. But therein is also the means of grace that your children are brought under in this day. And your child does not understand. We have just read that in the form, but the Lord knows. And that was for Rebecca a special day. What shall it now be for your child? One day to look back and to say it was the Lord that did bring me to the well. It was the Lord in the way of his providence that did bring me into that external church of God. O parents, the Lord give you grace. The Lord give you wisdom. The Lord give you faithfulness and diligence in the upbringing of your child, of your children. And may he give to you that supplication, that prayer, that your child may also be and receive that blessed portion of Rebecca, with whom the dealings of the Lord, they were evident, and who was being drawn by Isaac. That we hope to hear of, if all is well, a little later. While the children are brought in, let us sing from Psalter 133, the third stanza. To all the coming race, repeat the message o'er. This mighty God of grace is ours forevermore. Yea, he our Savior will abide, and unto death will be our guide. The third stanza of Psalter 133, and after baptism, Psalter 425, stanza 5, standing. I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Lucas Girard, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Miles Avery, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Lydia Louise, I baptize thee in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern these baptized children by Thy Holy Spirit, that they may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they may then acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy which Thou hast shown to them and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King, and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that they may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God. Wilt Thou open that fountain of grace, which is open as we read it in Thy word, for sin and for uncleanness, to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And when Thou dost say to come, that any that will, that may come and take of that water of life freely. Oh, that Thou wilt Thou renew the will of each and every one of us, because that water of life that is so free, and there is nothing from thy side that is standing in the way. And then that invitation that is going out to the chiefest of the sinners. And then it is only our natural and our corrupt will that has no desire for thee and sees no need for that blood, that does not mourn for sin and because of our uncleanness. Oh, bind it upon the heart of young and old together. When we are also baptized in that same way, O Lord, give that in this hour, that water that has been placed upon the heads of these infants may strike through the hearts of each and every one of us, that thou art so good unto us, that thy mercies and that thy long-suffering is so very, very great. That thy grace that is as wide as the ocean, and that our hearts are so wretched and so evil and so dead and so corrupt, that these greatest of all blessings have no beauty in our eyes. O Lord, convert us unto thee, that we may not go, we and our children, and with all the outward blessings unto our death and unto that judgment seat of thee, where we will give an account also of our baptism. Do remember, parents, those that may be among us, and thou knowest also that there are those that are missing, those that are not able to be here, but also those that are no more. O Lord, wilt thou remember all those that yet do mourn, and wilt thou give a looking for and a hastening unto those things which are above, where we may with our children seek that treasure and that portion that is far above all that is to be received here in this world. Lord, wilt thou supply for all young and old in the midst of us, also the children. Oh, thou knowest the callings that have come unto them, and once again this sacrament that is laid before them, and that it is made visible even to the youngest child, that they may see what is needful in their life. Oh, give them to feel the corruption and the sin. Give them to feel the guilt, and give them to cry out that they may be washed and that they may be cleansed and that they may be renewed before thee, the true and the living God. Strengthen these parents to fulfill the vow that they have vowed, and wilt thou thyself fulfill the promise which is contained in this thy holy ordinance. And wilt thou look upon all those that are needy, and then we think in a special way of those that mourn in these days. When there have those been, when there have been shootings in this world, so that suddenly men have come to their end. O Lord, teach thou us to number our days, and remember those that are mourned and who are in shock. O Lord, be near unto them. O teach them of the true and the living God. Oh, give them to find thee in their life. Oh, bring thy word unto the ends of the world, and that in all the wretchedness and all the misery and all the sorrow and all the grief, that men may look again toward thy holy temple. Look upon us also in this hour, and when we are together under word and sacrament, help us now to speak a few fitting words. Give us opening and liberty in thy truth. And wilt thou give it a place in the hearts of each and every one of us. O Lord, convert us. and forgive us for Jesus' sake. Amen. We will now sing from Psalter 422, stanzas 2 and 3. With my own chosen one, e'en David God affirmed, I've made a covenant with sacred oath confirmed. Psalter 422, stanzas 2 and 3, and the last collection today is for our school.
Thank you.
beloved congregation, Eliezer perceives that he is under the guiding hand of the Lord. Three answers of Rebecca make it more and more evident that she is the one who is the appointed wife for his master Isaac. Thus, hope that is dawning in the heart of this servant of the Lord. What does he do now? Does he just take Rebecca and go? That, you say, cannot be, because that would be immoral, that would be illegal, neither would that be very natural at all. Rebecca has parents, a father and a mother, so they also must be asked. That is the same also today. That is what we read in our form, young people. With knowledge and consent of parents or guardians and friends. Do you understand where that comes from? That is coming out of the Word of God. On the other hand, then it cannot be that it is just father and mother that are making a decision for their daughter alone, that is without her will. Because then that marriage that has no proper basis and foundation of love, and then it is not according to that holy word of God. And thus two things are necessary. First of all, then it is necessary to have the consent of her parents. And in the second place, it is necessary to have the consent of Rebecca. And thus we see the need for the working of the Spirit of the Lord in the life of God's children, to bring them unto Him. And that we want to see in the words of our text in this afternoon hour, which you can find in that portion that was read to you, Genesis 24, and thereof the 33rd verse. Genesis 24, verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, speak on. So far, the words of our text. Eliezer's errand revealed to Rebecca. First, she hears mention of Abraham's name. Second, she hears mention of Isaac's name. Third, she hears mention of her own name. Eliezer's errand revealed to Rebecca. First, she hears mention of Abraham's name. Second, she hears mention of Isaac's name. And third, she hears mention of her own name. Eliezer, congregation, is a faithful servant of the Lord. He will not eat until we read that he has told his errand. How is that with you, young people? When you have an employer, then are you also faithful? Because a faithful messenger, Solomon says, he refreshes the soul of his master. So is it that your employer is able to say that you should do this and to do that, and then he can turn away from you and expect that you will do faithfully and diligently that which you have asked have been asked to do? So it was with Eliezer. And now Eliezer, he says here who that he is. He says, I am Abraham's servant. And that is heard now by that entire family of Rebecca, when they are all sitting there and they are listening to the words of this servant, but we want especially to think about Rebecca and how that this message that is coming over unto Rebecca, who is the appointed wife for Isaac, because we see in Rebecca, we see in her an illustration. No, we may not go so far as to say a type, but an illustration at the very least of that true church of God and that Spirit of the Lord who is working to bring that church of God unto as a bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am Abraham's servant. It is likely that until now she didn't know this, but now it is revealed to her. Abraham, his name is mentioned. She hears this. What kind of thoughts must that name have invoked in that soul of Rebecca? Certainly she has heard of Abraham before, because Abraham, that is her own relation. But what has she heard of him? Well, she knows that is he from whom there has been already many years ago a separation. No, that was not her doing. That was the doing of her ancestors. But that has well also affected her, because she is now born into this family, not into Abraham's family, but into the family of Nahor. So she has heard it. Nahor, he has remained behind. When Abraham, he has followed that calling of the Lord, that he would leave, that he would be separated from his country and from his kindred and from the idolatry that land that had degenerated into. The Nahor, we read nothing. No, Nahor, we do not read that he has a desire that he may also go along with Abraham, but he is content. He is to contend to remain in this informed way of the true God, certainly, but a way that is degenerated into the worship of the idols. And thus, this name, Abraham, what must that now have invoked in that soul of Rebecca? Then she must say within her, she has never met him, but he is, from all that she has heard, he is an holy man. That is a man of God. That is a man who has gone after the Lord. That he has forsaken everything for that one cause, for that one name of the Lord. And she, well, she must say, well, then I am different from Abraham. I belong to a different family. Then I belong to those who are yet of this world. I belong to those who have chosen still to remain in a different way and were glad to be still in this way. I am Abraham's servant. What must have passed through the mind of Rebecca in that moment? Why? Because suddenly is revealed to her the source of the gifts that she has received from the hand of Eliezer. No, they were not from Eliezer. But now she understands that this man is a servant. That this man, he is serving Abraham. Thus those gifts, they have come not from Eliezer, but they have come from Abraham. Thus we said of those gifts, they are drawing a person. Thus her heart that is directed in this way, her heart that begins to be drawn after Abraham. I am Abraham's servant. And what does that servant then begin to do? He is a true servant. Then he begins to speak about Abraham. He does not begin to speak about himself, but he has a desire to speak about his master. And he begins to tell about the greatness of Abraham. And the Lord, he says, hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Congregation, what a beautiful, illustration we have here. That work of that Spirit of the Lord, what is that work? That is a supernatural work. It is a most powerful work. It is above all of nature. And yet, it is not against nature at all. There is nothing that is unnatural about that work. Thus, when a man, he is brought by the Spirit of the Lord under that word as we have spoken of, then his ears, even as the ears, children of Rebekah, you understand that? The ears of Rebekah, they have gone open. Did your ears ever go open, boys and girls? It becomes different if the Lord gives you a new heart. Then your ears begin to go open for the first time in your life. Then your ears begin to go open to that God. To that God from whom that you have been separated. You say, I did not do that. Oh, that belongs to your ancestors. You say that was done by Adam. That is true. But it is affecting you because you are now belonging to that family. You are belonging to that family, the offspring of Adam. And you are born in a natural way in this world. Thus, it is affecting you. And now when the Lord is opening your ears, as you understand the ears and the attention of Rebekah, she is listening to the words of that servant as she has listened to none other perhaps in her whole life. But this man, he has gained her undivided attention and she is listening. And now what the Lord is doing, when he is working, then he is opening the ears that they begin to listen. And he is beginning to show a man where all those gifts have come from in his life. Did the Lord ever show you that? Maybe you never saw those gifts before. How does it begin? It begins with providential things, we said. And that the Spirit of the Lord, he is guiding a man. Then he begins to see that when he wakes up in the morning, and he receives a little strength through rest. And when he receives a little food and drink, and that he sets it before himself in the morning, and then he folds his hands, and he will close his eyes, and he will look for a moment, that little bit that is now on that table that is before him, and the Lord, he is beginning to break the heart of that people. He says, this gift, this food, this drink, maybe just a slice of bread, a little bit of butter on it. And then the heart is broken. Why? Because where does this gift come from? This gift comes from God. And it is coming from that God whom I have turned my back to, and my life that is a life in the service of this world, my life that is following after all the idolatry that is in this world, then that soul that begins to look about him, and he sees not only one thing, but he sees another thing, and he sees a third thing, and a fourth thing. And then the wonder, he looks about him, and his heart that begins to break, his heart that begins to melt. Why? Because the apostle says, knowest thou not that the goodness of the Lord leadeth thee to repentance? That is the work of the Spirit of the Lord. Then to open the ears and to open the eyes and to open the hearts just by the gifts. See, even the natural things, the providential gifts, then the Lord, he is beginning to draw that people after himself. Then they may read in that word. They may hear that servant of the Lord explain something. Then he begins to speak about the holiness of that God and about his majesty and about his greatness and about his long-suffering and about his mercy. And then his ears, they are open. And the more that they do hear of who that God is, of his greatness, the more their hearts are touched, the more their hearts are broken, the more their hearts are being drawn. And so we have a man of a broken heart and of a contrite spirit who has to say, I have sinned. I have sinned against a good-doing God. You understand what that is, children, young people? The Lord is so good. The Lord is so gentle when he is coming. Then it is also a great sweetness when the Lord is breaking your heart. Then there is a great sweetness also that is experienced in your heart under that goodness of the Lord. That at the same time that you feel the afflictions and the punishments maybe in your life, that your heart is being drawn at the same time by that hand of the Lord, and that you are saying, how is it possible that I may go back again? How is it possible that I may be reconciled? How is it possible that I may know something again of this, that good-doing God? So there comes room by the Spirit of the Lord for the second part. She hears, we read, the mention of Isaac's name. There is always an order, young people. Remember it. There's always an order. The Lord, he works in an orderly way. Only look in the creation. Everything is in order. Is your life in order? Is your house in order, mothers? Is your business in order, fathers? Is your room in order, young people? Everything that ought to be in order, because God, he is a God of order. And then also there is an order to that way that the Lord is working. We do not say all the same, perfectly the same. No, all the leaves in a tree, one tree, we see they all belong to that tree, and yet every leaf, that is a little bit different, but there are certain things you say that belongs to that maple tree, that belongs to an elm tree, that belongs to a willow tree. We can see it, and yet all the leaves are different. And so that is, you say, that is now the work of the Lord in the life of that man. I can see it because it has those certain marks, and yet it is so different in the leadings from one unto the other. So we see an order. An order to the Spirit's work. It is a room-making work. First, here we read that he is speaking about Abraham, and afterwards he is speaking about Isaac. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. Now, what do you think? What do you think was going on inside of Rebecca when she hears about the son of Abraham's old age. Oh, if her attention, if that has been raised, when he did speak about Abraham, then how much more is her attention quickened? He begins to speak about Isaac. And why? Well, how would that be for you, young people? Maybe your father has said once to you, you know, you have a great uncle or a great great uncle who lives in the Netherlands. And he can tell you many things about him. He said, well, he's an old man. He lives far away. I've never seen him. And he begins to tell you that he has a son, that you actually have a cousin. And then what happens? You say, well, that cousin, he is now closer to my age. Now you have an interest even more that you may know who that is. That is something that comes closer to you. And so that was also with Rebecca. And then she has heard about Abraham. That was her great uncle. And now he begins to speak about Isaac. And there is something in this that is coming ever closer now unto Rebecca. And her attention that is going out more and more to listen and to hear what Eliezer he has to say. And we hear that he is speaking about this son. And he says, this son is the heir. To him he has given, we read, all that he had. Everything that was Abraham's is now going unto Isaac. So he is going to receive all the riches of Abraham. Oh, when that love of God that is born in the heart of a man. Do we know what that is? The love of the Lord born in our heart. Because that is now the first thing. That is now the order. It does not begin with the son. No, it begins with the father. Not as a father, but as God. Oh, did that ever receive the attention of your heart? That your ears were pricked when you may hear of who that God is and your separation from him. And then it is a people that do not know yet. They have not yet heard of the Son. You say, I've been going to church my whole life, since I was just little. Then we would sing, then we would speak, we would hear spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. He was born in Bethlehem. Everybody, we all know of the Lord Jesus. That is true. That is true. But how is it in your heart concerning the Lord Jesus Christ? You know what the Bible says? There is in him no form. There is no comeliness that we should desire him. And let all of us now together say how that is. How is that? Concerning that Son of God. Any form in him? Any comeliness in him? Does your heart desire him? Have you ever seen his beauty? Has he ever been to you, as we read that the bride says, that he is white and ruddy, that he is the chiefest among 10,000, that he is altogether lovely? Or has, you say, no. No, he is a name. Jesus, five letters. We know the doctrine, Christ, that is his official name. We know all of the offices and so on. Oh, that is now true. But now when that people, when their desire, when they have heard of God, and their desire that has gone out after him, oh, then it becomes different also. And when that feeling, when that desire for reconciliation that is born, oh, then the ears, then they are also going open to receive concerning his only begotten Son. Why? Because the Father, yes, oh, then he seems so very far away, Is that not so? Is he very far away to you? You read in the Bible of great gulf fixed. That is indeed how it is when a man is in hell. That is what we read. But that is also now the experience so often in the soul of a person. Oh, how far away from that God who has begun to love. And how impossible to be received again, but then now to hear something of the name of that greater Isaac. Oh, there is something that brings them so much closer in this. Why? Well, because of his human nature. Because he has become one of us. That is what the apostle says. He says, we have therefore not an high priest who cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, because he has become as one of us. And thus, when that people, they begin to hear of that name, oh, then it is bringing them, as it were, closer. And they hear of that mediatorial work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, the Son of God, what an interest the soul is receiving, that they may listen, that they may hear. Think of the daughters of Jerusalem, what are they saying? Oh, whither is thy beloved gone, that we may seek him with thee? Because that interest and that desire that has been born in their heart, and when that desire is born, oh, then that servant, what do you think? Oh, I think he was watching her. I think he was watching her. Do you not think so, young people? Just to see how that she was reacting. Then he begins to speak about Abraham. Yes, when he begins to speak about Isaac. And when that servant of the Lord in the house of the Lord, he may perceive something. Oh, then there is an opening. There is an opening to speak about that name of that greater Isaac unto that people where there is a hunger, where there is a thirst for it. And then he is able to tell something about that errand. But we want to see that after we sing. 124, 1, 2, and 7. My heart doth overflow. A goodly theme is mine. My eager tongue with joyful song doth praise the King divine. 1, 2, and 7 of 124. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites in whose land I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. Thus the errand of Eliezer that is told is on a mission. He has a task. There is a purpose. There is a reason that he has come here. That is to take a wife unto his master Isaac. There they are sitting. Father, mother, brother Laban, Becca, there they are sitting. Where do their thoughts go? To which one of them? When he has told his errand, that he is looking for a wife, to which one? We were in school, children, you could give an answer, I think all your hands, they would be up. I know. Not to mother, not to father, not to Laban, but to Rebecca. Why? Why? Why do you say that? Well, you say that fits. That fits. That is the only one that fits. And that is right. I'm going to tell you a word, children. You may remember that. It's a beautiful word. The word is suitability. Suitability. Rebecca, she is the one that is suitable for Isaac. And now suitability, that is a very precious, precious thing. Suitability is a thing that is very pleasing to the reasoning mind of a man. It is answering his questions. It is settling to his mind. And this suitability is one of those blessed perceptions when the Lord is revealing his only begotten Son in the life of his people. Then they do not see one thing, they do not see only one object, but they see two, because if there is suitability, then it is two things that are fit together. They are suitable, they are made for one another. And that is now such a pleasing perception when we see that in the midst of this world. And it is even more pleasing when it is experienced in the life of God's children. When Christ, he is being revealed in the soul of that people, then those two, they are perfectly fit together. That is the experience. Then they have seen their guilt. And then is preached to them that sacrifice. And then they say, he is the one that I need. Then he is so perfectly suitable unto my case. And they have felt their debt. And then is preached to them by the servant of the Lord. That surety. They say, that is the one that I stand in need of, perfectly fitting, not for my neighbor, but for me. Then they have felt something of their soul sickness, and is preached to them that heavenly physician, and they say, he is the one that I stand in need of. Oh, a perfect fitness, a perfect suitability in the life, in the feeling of that people. But it does not just remain with this. Why not? Because Eliezer now begins to tell how that he has met Rebekah in the way, at that well of water. And he begins to tell how that he was there on his knees. And he begins to tell how that he has asked the Lord, "Lord, wilt thou show me who it must be? Oh, could it be?" He asked for a sign. We heard of it. "Oh, Lord, let her say, drink, and I will draw for thy camels also." Let her say that. So he says that. He explains it all. And he explains how that this has taken place. How that Rebekah came unto that well. And she has said, "Drink, my Lord. And I will draw for thy camels also." See them there. See them there sitting. This family and this servant of Abraham is explaining what? Oh, Rebekah hears it. He is explaining exactly how she could explain it too, because she was there. He is explaining exactly what has happened in her life. In public, as it were, before her whole family. And then she hears something. Then she realizes something. Then she hears that she herself has been the object of the working of the Spirit of the Lord. Then she heard how that this man has besought of the Lord. And how that supplication was fulfilled in her. I want to stop a moment for just a moment and ask you a question. Are there here those that are not strangers of what Rebekah may hear in those moments when she is sitting around with her own family, that you have heard preached from the housetops what has taken place in the inner chamber, that you say, "Oh, I could have said it too, because he said exactly what has happened in my own life." Oh, are there those who have at that time realized, oh, that the Lord has given light upon something that has taken place in your life, that you have said, "What was that in my life?" And that the Lord, he has explained it out of his holy word through the mouth of his own servant. And you sit there, you sit in wonderment. So it was also with Rebekah. But there is more than wonderment. Let that people tell you. You know what there is? There is a drawing. Because when that people hear that, then their hearts, they are drawn out unto the Lord. And now Rebekah, she hears this too. And her heart that is drawn. And that is so necessary. Why? Because there is a calling coming unto Rebekah. What is that calling? Oh, we're going to hear more of that if all is well. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou go with this man? That is now the calling that is coming here unto Rebekah. That is laid before her. Come ye out from among them. And be separate. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world and every former friend. enthroned in royal state, all glorious thou shalt dwell, with garments fair, inwrought with gold. His church, he loveth well. Wilt thou go with this man? Wilt thou leave father and mother? Wilt thou forsake all? Wilt thou leave behind your house and home and everything that is to be gained in this world? Wilt thou go with this man? That you may be a nomad. That you may be a pilgrim. That you may be a stranger here upon this world. Wilt thou go with this man? That you may be married unto him who has the promises, who has the promise of a future inheritance, to whom everything belongs, not only sufficient for the time, but whom everything belongs in that heavenly Canaan congregation. So it came to Rebecca. Next time, if all is well, we want to see what that answer of Rebecca is going to be. What will she say? We will ask of you, what is your answer unto this question? Oh, have you ever heard of the name of God? Have you ever heard of the name of His Son? Have you ever heard, connected to this, also your own name? Oh, asking, inviting, drawing you to come out and to go after Him. That is that calling. What do you say? Say, I'm baptized. I'm baptized. That is enough. I have the form. I have the knowledge of the doctrine. That is what they had too. But leave me with my idols. Leave me with my idols. I want to remain there. And I have no desire to go out. Oh, how our punishment will be increased when we will say with all the knowledge, we will not have this man to reign over us. Wilt thou go with this man? Oh, the Spirit of the Lord work to draw your soul that you may make that blessed choice. Amen. Oh, Lord of heaven and of earth, we have seen this sacrament with our own eyes. That water freely placed three times in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, a preaching which does speak unto each and every one of us. Oh, then it does invite us, but we have no desire. Oh, Lord, convert us. Draw us, Lord, that we might run after Thee, and that our answer may be, I will go. Look upon us further in this day. Bring us safely to our places, and wilt Thou help each one in the week to come. Be with all those that travel to and fro, ourselves also, when we do travel to our meetings for the purposes of our schools. Lord, we ask Thy blessing also on the labors of all these committees, that our schools may be blessed and that our youth may be educated in the fear of Thy name. Bring us safely together again with our family and our flock. Care for all that mourn. Care for all that are sick and serious diseases. Spare us all from a sudden and an unprepared death. And give us that desire, after Thee, the true and the living God, forgive all our sins for Jesus' sake. Amen. 125, 1, 2, 4, and 5. O royal bride, give heed, and to my words attend, for Christ the King forsake the world, and every former friend. 1, 2, 4, and 5 of Psalter 125.
Thank you.
receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.